This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The new Max Crosby deal, by the way, he gets an extension. 3 years, $106.5 million with the Raiders, $91 million guaranteed. Makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history for right now. That, of course, will change next week as free agency gets underway. And we're going to see who commands the market and what it's going to look like. But his new average salary, Mike, of 35.5, that's $35 million, surpasses the $34 million of Nick Bosa, who was the highest paid non-quarterback. But this new deal, this extension, Max Crosby now takes that over. He's a dog. We know this. He's just got a bad team around him, man. And everybody thought last year with everything falling apart and then they fire another coach, Mike, and you're like, how long is this guy going to be there?
Right.
So I think this is Pete Carroll going, you know what? You've been great. We got to take care of our own first. Let's take care of this, and we're going to figure out the quarterback thing for you, and we're going to get some weapons in here. And so, but Crosby, that number, by the way, and I just say that because, again, you got to think about – you know, when Ja'Marr Chase gets his deal, all this stuff, non-quarterbacks, guys, that number's going to change.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, you know, we always make fun. It's easy to make fun of Mark Davis with that goofy haircut and everything.
What is that called, by the way?
A bowl. Bowl cut.
Okay.
Shemp from the Three Stooges.
It's terrible.
You know, knuckleheads. But yeah, so he did say that he was not going to let Max Crosby. He basically did the Arthur Blank. Max Crosby, you know, Raider for life kind of deal. And he did. And they saw it through. I'd love to know just how much it sure sounds like from what Pete Carroll said at the combine that Tom Brady really is running things. It sure sounds like.
So Parsons is going to get his deal. Not right now, but that'll happen between now and the start of, you know, the next year, not this season. And then Myles Garrett, Mike, he's searching for a trade. He's going to get a trade, and guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to pay him. So he's going to get to wherever he's going, right. And then Myles Garrett is going to get a new extension, and that's going to be another $100 million kind of deal. So we're just talking about those are three guys that are going to surpass the $35.5 million per mark for the bar, that is, for non-quarterbacks. And then Ja'Marr Chase again. Those are at least three guys right now this offseason that's possible for. I think Parsons, not so much because the Cowboys are still trying to figure out the money and what they need to do. But they're going to pay him, Mike, and Myles Garrett's going to get his, especially once he gets traded.
Yeah, we learned today, if you missed it in our 4th-and-1 segment, that, they moved some money around. Falcon fans are used to what happened, you know, in the 20-teens as we got into the 2020s. Unfortunately, we had to use Matt Ryan. He was the one reliable piece to move money around and restructure. But now they're basically doing the same thing with Dak Prescott, but they freed up $36 million in cap space for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it is. They got to figure it out. We've got to figure it out. And we've been saying this all day. If you're just tuning in, there are a lot of teams that are moving players and moving money and cutting guys, trying to figure out where they're going to go. We've yet to hear anything significant, okay, from the Falcons. But, Mike, again, the report out there is that they are preparing to lose Drew Dahlman. Well, guys, we hope you listen every day. We've been telling you this.
Right.
We've been saying this for the last few days about the idea, if they do, what's the plan, what's the backup plan? We just asked Joe Patrick about this, and he was like, look, I think this, from a big picture standpoint, this is probably good. Are you going to give your center $20 million or potentially $18 to $20 million a year? Okay, where we currently are. Mike, I don't think that's a smart play, even though I like Dolman, and I think you're creating another problem unless you just believe in the guy behind him is just as good.
Yeah, and as we know, guys, just when you think, like, that guy got a reset of the market, well, you know, maybe not a reset, but 13, you said 13.5 to $14 to $15 million. We like what Neusel did. Remember, Dolman was out for much of the year last year, and I'm more worried about making sure that Neusel stays and Storm Norton stays and all that depth remains as far as some of the restricted free agents and the guys that we may lose, because that's one area I'm never going to criticize Fontenot for, is we got good offensive line guys. But yeah, that I just don't also want to see Michael Penix Jr. not have stability at the center position.
Cowboys also restructured CeeDee Lamb, so they cleared another $20 million off the cap before they did the Dak deal. The Texans cleared $10 million off by restructuring Nico Collins. This is what's going on right now around the NFL. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Let's get to the dogs. So the College Football Playoff Committee, the selection committee, and we make fun of them because we say it's Taco Tuesday and they get together and, you know, it's a lot of blah, blah, blah. But this changes every year, okay? And so now there are a few new faces that are going to be a part of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. They're going to have a new look for 2025, the final year of the current structured 12-team format, right? And maybe this helps Georgia, Mike. Baylor Athletic Director Mac Rhodes is going to replace the Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel as the College Football Playoff Committee chairman. But there are five new members that are going to join the 13-member team that determines the rankings, guys, and we talk about this. We get to October, you know, early November. All right, what's it look like? And this is used to seed the playoff teams. But there's also another guy that's joining the board, a new member named Damon Evans. Do you remember Damon Evans?
Chief Panty Inspector of Roswell Road.
A former Georgia Athletic Director. This was 04, guys, back to 04-2010.
Right.
He actually played there as well, but he's now the AD at Maryland. He's going to be
landed on his feet.
Oh, yeah, he's doing fine. But he, and for those who don't know the story, Mike can rehash it for you, but he's one of the five new members on the committee, and some people are saying, oh, well, this will be good for Georgia. Not so fast. I look, you still got to win games. You still have to impress, Mike. You still have to handle your schedule. And ultimately, the committee's going to hopefully put the teams where they need to.
Right.
The only thing I think that needs to be changed, and they're talking about this, is the reseeding part of it, Mike. That's the part that would help a team like Georgia's, the reseeding.
Right. I mean, there's no reason that the way they did it this year and the way that, you know, I said Boise State was placed. And look, the Arizona State was one of the few, you know, let's be honest, sort of pleasant surprises of the way the pairings worked out, and certainly, you know, gave Texas everything they could handle until Ewers finally threw that touchdown here at Mercedes-Benz. But yeah, the higher seed, that's where it needs to go. And they've learned their lesson. This is going to be so weighted for the SEC and the Big Ten, and that's why they're going to get their four automatic entries, and then the ACC and Big 12 will get the other two. And then, at large, the Boise States of the world, it's a nice story, just like, you know, Central Florida years back, but you just know they're not going to get there. So why are we wasting time? You can't argue about – I'd go with 7 teams. Doesn't matter. Toothpaste is out of the tube. Now we're going to be at 16 before you know it, maybe by 2026. But, yeah, Georgia's going to be fine. You know, Georgia just needs to make sure this – you know, you need to have one superstar interior defensive lineman. That's what they had, Carl, those back-to-back years. That's what's been missing for my money the last couple of years. Offensive line's got to be better. We've talked about Stacey Searles and all the things. The only thing missing is the continuity in the trenches. I think that's kind of what happened. And on top of that was how bad the wide receiver play was. That was like the cherry
drops,
on top.
Drops. When you lead the country, that Georgia should never lead the country in drops, like, or the SEC in drops. That was a huge problem. Did we mention this earlier in the week? Because I don't know if it was out there. I think a lot of people were reporting that UNC was going to be on Hard Knocks.
And then Bentley squashed it.
It's not true. They are not going to be on Hard Knocks. But, Mike, I was looking at his staff. Have you seen some of the names on his staff, by the way? Freddie Kitchens, who used to quarterback Alabama and then obviously was the head coach of the Browns, is only wore that dumb shirt. He's going to be the offensive coordinator, tight ends coach. Matt Lombardi's the quarterback's coach. Natron Means is the running back's coach. I mean, you got some name value here. And then he hired both of his sons for the defensive side of the ball. Steve Belichick is the DC, and then Brian Belichick is the defensive backs coach.
Right.
So he went in, you know, stayed in-house with the family, but he's got some names of guys that have real NFL experience on his staff. I'm just – I'll be honest with you. I'm going to pay more attention this year to UNC just because I want to see what Belichick does.
I don't know how it works, you know, as far as, you know, having the GM. And is it Joe Lombardi is the GM for that team, right,
yeah.
for North Carolina?
Yeah.
And how they're going to put together, you know, what does it look like? I mean, you knew it with Saban. I mean, the idea how Saban used to market it and what Kirby does now is, like, if you come here, you listen to what we tell you, you're going right to the NFL. Because, I got a great coaching staff, you just laid it out. I don't know. I still think Belichick, I still think this is a stopgap. I think this is something to keep him busy, and I still think he's going to entertain an offer. And the buyout, of course, goes down to nothing after this year. I still think he winds up trying to get a sniff around the NFL job after this season.
Mm.
But you got to predicate it on showing you still got his fastball.
Yeah, I just, like, what job is really interesting to you? When you're calling and you're Belichick and you call the Jets and they're like, we're good. Like, that's what happened.
Right. And I mean, so, his best shot was here in Atlanta. We covered it, you know, and then Arthur got cold feet, whether it was from Bob Kraft or from his, you know, his advisors. And I don't know. I mean, after the way last season ended, I don't think Belichick could have done any worse. But it just, guys would have been not retained. Terry would have been a rubber stamp for Belichick. And those guys didn't want to be marginalized by Belichick coming in here. And they made their voices known.
Yeah. I only bring that up to say, you know, the whole Hard Knocks thing I thought would have been interesting. But then you think about this. They never did Hard Knocks in all the years he was there in New England. Why would he go to UNC in his first year in college and do it?
But other than, you know, look, he's got no problem. Look, and God bless the guy, having a younger girlfriend. He's doing Dunkin' Donuts commercials with her. I mean, he's not shied away. He's done all these, you know, those awkward appearances on Pat McAfee and everything else that Belichick does. I would think, and he's on with the Manning cast as well. I would think that he would want to pump up his program, you know, and we've seen Florida State's done it. We've seen almost every big program has had that kind of access with the cameras, whether it's Showtime's version of it or HBO. I thought for Belichick, it's helped your market.
It could have. It's not, as of right now, they are not going to do it. And by the way, we usually don't find out who the team is until...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before camp, like it's usually June sometime,
right?
Or end of May after this, you know, the schedules come out that we usually find out about Hard Knocks. Either way, that's not happening. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We will see and talk more about the college football scene as we get into spring a little bit more here next week and practices get underway. And we know G-Day is going to happen, unlike some of the games around the country where they're not having spring games. Georgia is, and I think we got to learn a lot about this team. Mike, you mentioned some of those areas. So those are the things we'll be paying attention to, and Kirby's going to be challenging this group, man, to get better pretty quickly here. And the quarterback battle, I just want to see, is it a legitimate battle with Pleglisi, or are you just inserting and starting the guy right now that you feel like, okay, he's our guy. And Pleglisi is going to be the backup. I don't know, Mike. I feel like it might be a battle. 404-726-0929. We got plenty more to get to. Steve Weiss is going to stop by, guys, to talk with us. NFL Network chief national reporter, co-host of Game Day as well, the Game Day preview. And we got a lot of stuff to talk with Steve about because I know he has thoughts on the Falcons and where this team may go. I'm sure he has an answer or two about the whole Cousins situation, because, again, that's got to get resolved one way or the other. But then, Mike, all this other news and how interesting free agency is going to look with teams cutting guys, guys asking for trades. This is the part, Mike, where it's changed, I think, in the NFL, where it's made the offseason a lot more intriguing. It used to just be cuts and salary cap. And now, you know, you fast forward where we are in 2025, and it's like this is like the NBA. It really is when you talk about all the moves that are being made or will be made here over the next week or two.
But it's all about how much money you got. It's incumbent on the cash. You know, the Cowboys were the big movers today by just creating the cap space, you know, and now maybe they can address the things they couldn't last year, which kind of hurt them ultimately. Look, you lose your starting quarterback, you're dead in the water, but that's a big one. But for a team like Atlanta, you know, we're still waiting. Carl's been saying all day, waiting. Watching, you know, not judging, but wondering when we're going to be making some moves. I just don't think we're going to be, despite those reports, I don't know how aggressive you can be when you're in the bottom five teams as far as cap space, and you haven't cut anybody yet.
Well, that's the thing. Yet. If they, and they do.
Unless they're cuts that they're not really excited about because the fan base might not like them, i.e. Grady, and they maybe just do it very quietly over the weekend.
How do you cut Grady after 11 years quietly?
I don't know. I mean, and they might not even cut. Look, they might not have the guts to cut Grady.
I hate Grady.
I didn't say that. See, I didn't say that.
Wow.
But and another guy hit us up on the text line earlier when we were talking about it, and Onyemata. No one has any feelings about Onyemata. Grady is a legacy player for the Falcons, and I understand that. But it's a bad defense. They got to turn it over. And these guys account for a lot of cap space. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's about what? It's almost like 13, 14% of the cap is on Yamada and Grady, so got to go.
All right, we're going to see. Yeah, yet is the key word, because they are going to remove some of this stuff. They have no choice, even if it's one major move, because you got to get under, but we'll see. All right, Steve Weiss is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mean, it's like watching the ticker right now with all the news that's dropping, and it's only going to increase between now and the start of free agency. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This brother crushes it, man. Steve Weiss, NFL Network chief, national reporter, co-host, game day preview, that is. And everything he does, Mike, he's on point. Steve, it's good to have you back on the show, man. We're just kind of following this, all this news today. Trade demands from receivers, guys retiring. I mean, it's an exciting time right now in the league, and this is what makes the offseason so special. I want to start, Steve, with the Falcons, because I know with your history of covering this team and having been here in Atlanta, everybody's talking about this Cousins thing like it's just going to get resolved. What do you think ultimately happens?
Well, I think ultimately he's not on the roster because he has trade value. Look, the financial implications are what they are. He's going to get paid from the Falcons, whether he's on the roster or they're paying him to play for someone else, much like Denver did last year when Russell Wilson was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? I think because if you cut him, your cap implications are still not great. So try to get some value for him, and you know, don't have him as your backup. I mean, again, it could be great if Michael Penix gets hurt. You have Kirk Cousins as your backup. You could try and play that card twice in reverse like they did last year, but you can get value for him. Right now they have, what, no third-round picks, and I don't think they have a fourth-round pick, right? Get value for him what you can and while you can, and plus with Matthew Stafford going back to L.A., things like that, Cousins is going to be one of the most valuable options you can have if you're another team needing a quarterback. So I think the Falcons will trade him because they will be able to get some decent compensation.
But what are we going to get? I mean, our thinking was, talking to some other capologists, was that they're just going to cut him because you don't want him in the building for the obvious reasons of the weirdness that has occurred since, you know, the season ended in the Super Bowl comments. And then the fact that, you know, you don't have to, another team says, you know, we pay all his freight. You can just, you know, pull your own Russell Wilson kind of deal like the Steelers had last year.
Yeah, I mean, but again, you can get trade value for him because there's going to be a market. There's going to be multiple teams that would probably prefer a Kirk Cousins over a Jameis Winston. You see what I'm saying? So I think there will be some competition. Yeah, you cut him. That's one thing. You know, then it's open season. But
right.
You can trade him. I think there will be a trade partner out there that says, you know, we'll give you a fourth or fifth rounder or maybe a future for him right now. So you will. I think they will be able to get something back.
Steve, while we're talking quarterbacks, the Sam Darnold situation got interesting when the Vikings said, we're not going to franchise tag him. And look, I thought it was interesting for them to make that decision. Obviously, they drafted J.J. McCarthy, but where do you think he ultimately ends up? Because you talk about the market for Kirk Cousins. I mean, Sam Darnold is considered to be what, the top free agent now at age 27?
Exactly. That's my point with Kirk Cousins. Are you going to pay Sam Darnold $40 million a year, or are you going to make a trade for a fourth or fifth round pick for Kirk Cousins? What would you do? Yeah. I'll put that back on your trade.
Got you.
So that's what I'm saying. So I think Sam Darnold ends up back. He could end up back in Minnesota. I think Minnesota will pay you up to a point. Is that a 3-year, $100 million guarantee, with $50 million guaranteed deal that they can get out of after a year? Maybe. But I don't think they're going to pay him, crazy money. They're not going to give him a Baker Mayfield type of deal. I don't see that coming. So they'll say, look, go test the market, see what it is, get back to us, or maybe he'll preemptively sign a 1-year, $40 million deal up in Minnesota if they want to pay that much, because they've got J.J. McCarthy to come in. They've got that option. And if I'm the Vikings, I just don't pay a ton of money to him, because I think Kevin O'Connell is a great enough coach and quarterback developer where if J.J. McCarthy is healthy, you just roll with him.
Right. Steve Weiss from NFL Network with us. Is the market or the perception of Aaron Rodgers going to be so soft now that he's going to have a hard time getting a job, or someone's going to give him a 1-year deal?
I think he'll get a 1-year deal, but I don't think – it's got to be a certain team, right? As Pat Riley used to say back in the day, it's got to be a team that can absorb him, which means it can't be a team like the Raiders, right? Their locker room is just not strong enough to absorb him. We saw that with the Jets, where they couldn't absorb him. He came in and dominated everything, who he wanted on the team. He dominated headlines. He's on Pat McAfee. Like, I don't think there's any team that's going to allow that to happen. So who's got a strong enough locker room that needs a quarterback that could absorb him? We'll see who that team is. But it's not going to be this valiant market for him just because of the attention that he brings. And if your locker room, coach-wise, veteran leadership-wise, is not strong enough to that, then we saw what could happen. So I think it's going to be a very, very small market, but there'll be a team that'll give him a shot.
Steve Weiss joining us, NFL Network chief national reporter, guys, also co-host Game Day Preview. Steve, at least I'm hearing this, and I don't know if I believe it. Like, Myles Garrett doesn't have any leverage. He wants out. They offered him an extension. He was like, no, thank you. And there are some people who believe, like, Cleveland is going to hold, stay pat and not trade him. I don't believe that. I think they are going to be forced to trade him. But what do you think happens here? Because this is also one of the big moves we're watching as free agency gets underway next week and the trade market opens up, really.
Yeah, I mean, look, they have to hold fast and say they're not going to trade him just to see if somebody comes up with a first-round pick. Right? If you might be like, hey, we're open to trading him, yeah, you can get some bidding going, but you might not – you might not get the bid you get unless you play your cards like the way they're playing him. I do not think he ends up back there because you ultimately do have the leverage, and that's just not playing. Like, you can forsake the money.
Right.
But he's made a good chunk of change already. So that part's up to him. Right? So, yeah, he's not Hassan Reddick. He's not going to be the Hassan Reddick situation where they're like, whatever, you can hold out for as long as you want. This is Myles Garrett. And if somebody all of a sudden comes up and says, hey, we'll give you a front end second rounder, okay, maybe think about it. So I don't think he plays. If he's steadfast in saying he does not want to go back there, I think he's the type of dude who will hold firm to that.
It is a Steve Weiss from NFL Network, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. Tom Brady, I mean, how much juice does he have right now with the Raiders as far as, the input, calling the shots? And what is their strategy? And do you think there's a chance Shador Sanders could wind up with the Raiders?
I didn't hear the back part of your question, Mike.
Any chance that Shador Sanders, because his relationship with Brady, but will the chips fall where the Raiders can actually wind up with Shador Sanders?
I think they very well could. To answer the first part of your question, I don't think Tom Brady's walking in the building every day saying, hey, Pete Carroll, here's what we need to do. Right. I think if Pete wants to solicit advice from Tom, or if Mark Davis, the owner, wants to solicit advice for Tom, he's there to offer it. But I don't think he's in there trying to bully the personnel department or Pete Carroll into making decisions. Now, in terms of Shador, I actually think that'd be a good fit because we know Pete Carroll, he's going to run the football. He's not going to demand too much out of his quarterback, and he's going to let the best player earn the spot. We saw that when Russell Wilson earned his job as a third-round pick. So I think if he doesn't go higher, I don't know if the Raiders would necessarily trade up to get Shador, but the relationship he has with Brady and the fact of what Pete Carroll probably wants to do with that offense with Chip Kelly there, I think Shador would be a great fit.
Steve, what's your take on the whole Shador hate that's happening, or at least it seemed perceived hate at the combine with, you know, oh, I don't know if he's one of the best quarterbacks and all this nonsense we're hearing. Is that directed at his dad?
Some of it probably could be. Some of it could be, you know, Shador, you know, when he plays well, he flashes the jewelry, you know, the watch and all that stuff. And some of it could be like maybe he's not Justin Herbert in terms of the way he can just throw the ball anywhere, you know, that he's not Joe Burrow. With some of those qualities. But you know what? This is a guy who's won everywhere he's been. He's played quarterback his whole life. He knows how to play the position. He doesn't make mistakes. And, you know, it's just interesting. I think a lot of the hate does have to go to the flamboyance, whether it's for Deion or whether it's for him. And everyone just kind of wants, hey, we want that good old guy. We want that good old All-American dude who's just not going to try to grab the headlines and just play football. There's absolutely some of that involved. Because they sure as hell, I'll tell you this, because right now you're seeing a whole lot of people trying to move other people up the board.
Right.
And every day it's a different guy. Well, he looked good at the. There's some of that going on.
I just think, Steve, the same knuckleheads that are throwing shade at Sanders, the same guys who are pumping up Mitchell Trubisky or Zach Wilson. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think the agendas are at play and some of that old school thinking, which is a bit jive. But it's like it's a new world. New world we're living in college as well. Steve Weiss is with us. What about the Cowboys? We were talking earlier. Carl was mentioning all the money they freed up from restructuring CeeDee Lamb and Dak. And we know what that's like here in Atlanta with Matt. Sometimes you got to pay the piper. But can Jerry fix this thing this year?
Well, he can try. Look, part of this is to pay Micah Parsons, but they've got to do something. They've got to fix their offensive line. You know, Zach Martin retired, but he was hurt for part of last year. Brock Hoffman played pretty well. They've got to get some things. They re-signed the D-tackle. Nice contract for him. But, you know, they've got to get some playmakers in there. They've got to do some things at wide receiver. They've got to maybe address the running game in the draft. The one thing we've seen with the Cowboys is when we're hyping them up and expecting them to do something is when they fall flat. And when they're kind of laying in the weeds and not drawing a ton of attention is when they tend to play well. That has not resulted in a conference championship appearance or a Super Bowl. So I don't know what the expectations necessarily are, but I don't think we can discount the Cowboys, you know, from making some type of run. But they've got to get some playmakers in there. That has been shown year after year.
What the Bengals are attempting to do, is it going to work? We know the Dolphins did it. They didn't win a playoff game. And I'm talking about paying both wideouts, right? They franchised T. Higgins. They're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase. I know Joe Burrow's all about it, and he's willing to restructure whatever he needs to do to help that. But is that the way, you know, is that the way you get this done? Because the only team that's won it, and they're constructed differently with allowing your wideouts to make 20-plus million, Steve, is the Eagles.
Yep. You know, and you know, you're seeing the Lions are doing it to some degree, but you got to draft well on defense, and they haven't. Right. And Sam Hubbard, the defensive end, is a really good player. He just retired today, so you know you're seeing a team like the Lions. I'll use them as an example, or the Eagles. They've pumped a ton of money into their offense, but they've nailed it in the draft on defense. You know, both of those teams, and then they've augmented with some affordable free agents on defense. But the Eagles, look, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean last year, two rookies in the secondary, changed their whole secondary.
Right.
And that's something with the Bengals they've missed. You know, they've drafted several players on defense the past couple of years who have not amounted to what they had hoped for. So if they go with both of these receivers, which surprises me, I'm kind of surprised that they franchised Higgins, you know, then they've got a new DC. They must have some faith that things are going to change on that side of the ball. Because to pay that much on offense, you've got to have a defense that can substantiate it with young players who are not on those big contracts.
Steve Weiss, man, great job as always. We appreciate you stopping by. I know you're busy. We'll be following everything that's going on with you and watching you as well, brother. Thank you so much.
Always good, guys. Take care.
Brother, if we get somebody to take a contract, they assume the 27.5. We'd eat 37. That's fine. I'd have a parade. You and I, Carl and I, will have a very short parade. We'll go down 14th Street. We'll go down over the...
We're marching.
Literally. I will throw a one... I mean, Carl wants to participate. If, if Turtle is feeling up to it, we will have a parade, Carl.
Stitches?
And because if we can get somebody to take her... We've had a lot of capologists that say no one's going to pay for them. They're just waiting for us to cut them.
I get his premise. We're talking about what Steve Weiss just laid out. I just don't know who's going to do that.
Right.
What do we have coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
What if I told you, back in your heady days in Texas at college, that you could shower with the lady gymnasts?
Sorry?
Co-ed showers.
Really?
Coming to a college in California next. Way to play is play. Hey, guys, tomorrow we're going to be at State Farm Arena. It is 92.9 The Game night. Andy Rende and the morning shift and Steakhouse be there. We'll be there. I'm not sure. But we're going to be out there, man, with all sorts of goodies and fun and shenanigans. So make sure down to State Farm. Carl and I will be doing the show live behind the in Atlanta as the Pacers are in town to take on our Atlanta Hawks. By the way, you get any damage last night with a crazy storm that rolled through?
Outside of our area, like outside of our backyard fence or whatnot. But we did have a tree down. But, I mean, it's just in the peripheral, right? You can see it. But it didn't affect anything. But, man, that wind was something serious, wasn't it?
Right, man. No, I heard a bunch of, like, crashes. They got big limbs coming down. I got, man, that tree-cutting business is a good business. I tell you what. Is it wrong that I've been? Now, I know you like to shop around. I think that as an educated consumer, right, is the best customer. I've had four guys in here. Are they price rigging, Carl? Is it just how expensive it is? Because I did this about 4 years ago.
It's expensive.
Took down
man.
A bunch of trees. Oren, when you get a house, oh, that's the joy of homeownership.
Oh, the house we're looking at right now is full of pine trees in the backyard. So that's already been a discussion, yes.
All right. So budget extra 10 grand.
There we go. Yes.
Yeah. No, it is expensive. And I'll say this, though. You know, those dudes, like when we had, I think I had six or seven trees when the last time I told you guys that they actually hit the house and we got all that resolved. But they were there all day. Like I left, they got there early in the morning, Mike, and I think I got back home. This was, you know, last spring or summer, whatever it was. And the daylight was, they were still there. So it's an all day deal. Like those dudes work, man. I will give them credit. It doesn't matter, you know, what company you go with, but look, I'm with you on this. It's pricey, bro.
No, I'm sitting here. I'm trying to be a cheapskate. I mean, you get what you pay for.
This is true.
I mean, if you get a guy that's not bonded, you know, and insured, and all of a sudden, oof. And then somebody falls out of the tree, then you're paying that guy's hospital bills the way it was explained to me by one of my neighbors who knows these things.
It's real. No, you got to get the insured folks. Right. But I'll say this, though. For the most part, I'm always just amazed at how they do it, especially the big pines, when they go all the way up and then they trim, and they're cutting this thing from the top. And you're like, man, it's crazy.
I know. So my original plan was, you know, maybe run down to Home Depot and just get some guys, you know.
You're going
to
do it?
And, come on, guys. Who knows anything how to handle a chainsaw?
You were going to do it?
What could possibly go wrong? Yes. Yeah. And then you'll see local radio host. There'll be a guy. I go to the emergency room.
No fingers, no hands.
Not messing with that. All right, man. One of my favorite bad movies. When I play favorite bad movies, it's so bad, it's good, and it's entertaining because it's just so over the top, is Starship Troopers.
Okay.
The Paul Verhoeven sort of dystopian future story about these giant ant-like creatures that are coming to get us, and then everybody serves and fights them, and they go off. It's called Starship Troopers.
Roughnecks.
So one of the interesting parts of the future, at least in the Paul Verhoeven movie, is when in the military, everybody showers together. I mean, it's like co-ed. I mean, even in high school, like they're co-ed. I mean, like the football team.
They have like the water switch. Like there's no like weird nozzle. It's just like the thing you got to pull down to pull
and
the
water.
And
then that smoking hot redhead that was in The Devil's Advocate and then was later on Law & Order, SVU. She was in that.
Law and Order.
With her boobies hanging out. Yeah, the redhead. You know the one I'm talking about? The sexy one? She's Dutch?
Okay. I do know who you're talking about.
Dina Meyer.
Thank you.
Yes, I do know you.
She's in it. But anyway, sorry. It just stuck in my head. The University of California, Davis, facing major backlash. I'm reading this from the LA Times. It was announced that the college is replacing its men's and women's locker rooms with, quote, universal, all-inclusive locker rooms shared by everyone, regardless of gender. The locker rooms are projected to reopen September 2025 under the new system, and many people are not happy about it. All campus recreation members can use our universal locker rooms, regardless of who they are or how they identify.
Okay. All right.
I identify as a pervert. Come on in there. Anyway, the website, Cal Davis wrote, spaces are inclusive, members of disabilities. Anybody wants to go in there, just go do your thing and suds up, why don't you? And don't linger too long because then people start talking about
you. That's weird.
According to the University of Cal Davis, this renovation will transform the locker room facilities into a space that offers more privacy for all members. How is that possible when you're all showering together? That doesn't make a lot of sense. To me.
Mike, I'm trying to think. I don't even think they had, now it's not a big deal. They didn't even have, when I was in college, they didn't even have like, I think there was one co-ed dorm. And even that, I mean, it was a big deal. Like, you talk about everybody showering together?
Yes. Hello, lady.
Yeah, I think there was one dorm, because it was such a big deal, because they had, you know, the boys' dorms, obviously, and then, you know, everything was separated. Right. But I want to say there was one where on one side, in one building, should I say.
Okay.
But it was still separated.
Right.
It wasn't everybody just hanging out.
Well, this is the kind of progressive thinking I'm all for. A floor plan on the university website shows there will still be men's and women's gender-inclusive toilets.
Yes, of course.
How will be placing that, or policing that, I should say, policing. They did not say. So it seems like it's somebody put this out there with maybe not having all their ducks in a row. It seems like a work in progress.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody came up with the idea, why don't we? And then this is where it went.
But imagine, like, you know, you're a football player, and if everybody's in there at the same time, and you get, like, you know, or if you just, even if you're just doing intramural basketball, and the girls are playing volleyball. Hey, who wants to hit the showers? Sorry, am I projecting here? Hey, man. Sorry, Orange. Just thinking ahead. All of a sudden, all I can think of in my mind is the scene from the movie Porky's, you know, with the hole in the wall between the men's and the women's locker room.
Oh, yeah. Classic scene.
Orange laughing behind the glass. Hey, man. We went through the living hell that is going from an affordable football ticket to the personal seat license. The same is happening now in Western New York. They're going to have that new stadium, which will be open air in Buffalo, with us all new amenities. But remember, it's not covered. It's not downtown. They built it right next to the old stadium.
I know. And it's crazy. Don't you think they should have covered that thing?
Yeah, I think they should have put it downtown. Because Buffalo, like a lot of the Rust Belt, is kind of dying a slow death. So try to revitalize the area. But they didn't tell people how to do it. But you know, you think with the state kicking in all the money, you might want to try to, you know, create something that's going to maybe, you know, create jobs and more who knows. Not my problem. The problem is they're off by about 34% of what they expected for season ticket holders to buy in because of the personal seat license.
I believe it, Mike. We've talked a lot about this since the inception here in Atlanta. And at the time, you know, we were so excited to get just a new stadium and state-of-the-art facility. We're going to get a Super Bowl. I think the thing and I'm talking about just generally speaking the public, because, you know, we were part of that Mike, that helped people try to understand what this whole thing was about. It was new, right?
Look, it's how stadiums get built. Now, in the case of Buffalo, they still got those 15,000 to 50,000 club level seats that we have at Mercedes-Benz. They were trying to make it cheaper. Now the prices just dropped this week on what they're considering general admission season ticket holders. They're learning now. So what's it going to cost to sit in the corners of the end zone or the more inexpensive seats or the upper levels?
But I also
there's still going to be a premium attached to that.
We'll see. But I think a lot of people when they went in with season tickets and did this, they thought that they'd get all the other premium events at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a ticket price level that allows you to do that.
Right.
But you just don't get season tickets, and then you get SEC championship game and the bowl game, the Peach Bowl. And I think that was kind of a misunderstanding for a lot of people who were like, hey, I got season tickets, and I'm going to get access. Access doesn't mean you get tickets to.
Right. So I'm a little I feel for those folks up there. I mean, we know how it works. It's just a way that it's the price of doing business to build stadiums. But, yeah, it is kind of a buzzkill. Hey, did you see what happened to Anthony Kim?
No.
On the new TGL Golf? You hadn't seen this? He hits, was it last night? He had the, I'm getting the golfer wrong. It's a different golfer. He basically is chips in, because they have those like simulated greens that they can alternate from to shot.
Yeah.
Golfer basically, he hits it. It's like it's tracking on a chip. He turns his back, raises his arms, and the ball hits the pin. It doesn't go in.
Oh, he thought he had it.
Right. And that's maybe something to watch, because TGL, as we said, they've kind of been struggling with some of the numbers, but it's just one of those things that, you know, we've all been there. Of course, you and I have never been there, because I never ever chip in off the green, but it's kind of funny if you see that. You just Google it, you'll find the video. It's out there.
It's fun, man. I haven't watched from start to finish. It seems like, though, every time I see these highlights, these guys are laughing and having fun and, like, It seems engaging, but I don't know if it's translating or not. I just don't.
Sorry about that. I try to find who the dude was. Yeah, it's Tom Kim, by the way. Tom Kim is the golfer. Okay. I said Anthony Kim. Tom Kim is the dude. Check it out. It's pretty funny. And all the golfers basically hit the deck laughing. All right, here's a story from down in Orlando. It involves Carl, a Florida man. A guy basically goes into a Tiffany's at an upscale mall in Orlando. And it's Tiffany & Company at the mall at Millennia. Orlando police have the court documents that came out. Guy says that he is an NBA agent, and he's representing a couple players who play for the Magic, and he's here to shop for jewelry for them. You buying that story?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Well, somebody bought it. At least he got in there. Cops say the store manager apparently bought this guy's wrap, and he takes him into a VIP room.
Uh-oh.
Where the associates then browse some high-end items. Soon, though, while they were distracted or looking at something else, he basically grabs a ring and some earrings valued over $769,000 and then
takes off. He's running.
Yes, and he's on his way. Well, the documents from the court case here say the associates told police they tried to stop him and managed to knock the ring out of his hand, but he was able to escape with some really pricey earrings. According to the court documents, police were able to locate this guy. He's a 33-year-old, short time later, and as they were taking him to custody, he swallows the earrings.
To say he didn't do it or try to get away with it?
As he was trying to basically conceal the evidence of the crime, the cops noticed that he just swallowed two earrings, so obviously he didn't do it too well. So
he does know those are going to come out, though.
Yes.
Okay.
And isn't that the worst job at the county jail this week?
those are gonna come out.
So, Earl, what do you do at the sheriff's department? Well, this week...
Do they ever keep him in isolation and, like, watch him until he passes them? Like,
authorities say a scan at the nearby jail, they x-rayed him. They showed the suspected earrings were inside the guy's tummy and stated that, yes, quote, will need to be collected after they are passed through Gilder's system prior to confirming.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass on that pair. I'm good. That's not a pair I want. Yeah, by the way,
that's going to be discounted heavily.
Yeah, obviously. What's wrong with this pair?
On those.
What's wrong with this pair? Nothing, sir.
Nothing.
I mean, all the soap and water in the world, brother, that's just going to not be
enough. Smell a little different.
So, by the way, TMZ Sports has got the entire article out there. So it's kind of made me chuckle. By the way, did you see the dude that they arrested for the Carson Beck auto theft?
Did they found? They found these guys?
They got the guy, 20-year-old. Now again, it was Hannah Cavender's car had the anti-theft device. It worked for some reason on the Lambos that Carson Beck had. They couldn't activate the tracer, or the tracer was disabled. But the documents state that Tyquan Anderson, three other men, donned masks, broke into the home while they were sleeping. So they actually robbed the key fobs. So it was actually a robbery, not just a car.
That's crazy.
Auto theft.
That's even crazier.
Yeah, they hopped over the gate and got the key fob and then went and found the other one, too. Like, they hopped over the gate, though, to do this.
Right.
You got some balls, man.
Right. And so I'm looking at the mugshot. He didn't smile for his mugshot.
Well, I'm sure he did.
But anyway, booked on three separate charges, felony grand theft, felony burglary. So that's more than just the that'll get him about 10 to 15.
Wait, did they find the cars? No.
They got her car back. They didn't find his car.
I am calling Carson Beck a bum.
Yeah. Well, as we said, I said it's on its way in one of those containers. After that Sopranos episode, I think it's probably going either to the Middle East or to Bulgaria.
Yeah, it's gone.
Or Albania. On that note, hey, man, there's your guy. Talk. We'll be over at State Farm. Come and see us tomorrow, guys, for 92.9 The Game Night.
All right. I don't know what you believe, but I'm having a hard time believing what was just told to us. We're going to let you hear what Steve Weiss said about the whole Kirk Cousins situation. And when are the Falcons going to do something? Hold on. Let me look. Let me check. Hold on. Wait a second.
They still haven't done anything. It's Dukes and Bill.
Where is
Terry?